printout towels that you mount for you. But yeah, you would, so thanks for your results.
Thanks, Nick.
Did you get forwarded the email?
No,
Shane just dragged them and dragged them in and said,
I'll go print it out.
I was going to look at 333335 or whatever example it was.
Yeah.
That's an example I think you couldn't trade.
Yeah.
That uses the original FEM formulation.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have used the grid based FEM? That's what we would do for a reaction.
Well, what I was trying to do is compare the initial results with the way that the sort of different packages like to do things. And from the mesh, I used the example of the way that gave me example of formulating the transit heat equation and so forth. So, yeah, I took what it gave as an example of formulating the transit heat equation. I don't have to modify the code to solve that, but to turn a monodomain sound model problem into a diffusion equation, I need to have an infinite room gain resistance, I'm guessing. And I'm guessing that an OD integrator is not going to like trying to put in a commit, or computers don't handle commit numbers very well. And so I
still have the 5 copies set, unfortunately. So you can all have one.
So the options are putting in a new scale model what's that?
I mean, I was originally thinking that if you set AM and CM to be equal to 1.
What's AM?
Turkish volume ratio.
Okay, yep.
The capacitance equal to 1.
Yep.
Then you chose your cell model so that it was equal to 0.
So you mean by just as infinity, so the current 0 here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it would be a parabolic.
Okay. So
I understand in some respect that you're, because the way CM does the time spinning problem or the diffusion problem is more similar to Lash in that it has this big FEM data structures. But what we would actually do here is use grid based.
Okay. Well, I put that down as an option that we could work on.
But I mean, I'm not saying that what you did is great.
Okay. And if that's, I mean, it'd be, if that's easy to implement, then perhaps we should try and just get rid of outliers.
Yeah.
So I was impressed by the response, the speed of response from Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, less than an hour or something. That doesn't show up here because it's just plus 100, but I think if I look at the clock on my thing, it was about less than an hour later. So got it.
Don't the time comparisons sort of kind of indicate that, in fact, I mean, that's the information that suggests that CM is doing things suboptimally, right?
Yes.
So this has been kind of useful.
Yeah, although, I mean, Chris's point is we haven't proven anything about the C++ approach.
Oh, right.
How bad
sorry.
CM is, although I thought that is the benchmark as far as I'm concerned. I don't accept that, therefore we have to spend all our time implementing a really... trying to prove ourselves wrong. I mean, it's up to him if he wants to do it, but I don't think it's true, so he has to do it.
But Chris did seem to think that we should be fixing up C, and that's what I get as
well. I agree, which is just crazy. I mean, I'm not interested.
Should we ask if Chris would like to fix up C? Is that something we could do with
him? What do you mean by fix up C? Because I would say that you need to.
Well, there's two approaches to fixing CM. One is that we could try and stop it. I mean, Chris says that, you know, the sparsity calculation needs rewriting, so maybe it does. But also, it seems like we've got to do something about just calculating the faces and lines as well.
Yes. Mm. So there's at least three areas that are taking too long, and I fixed up one area that was easy to fix up.
What was that?
That was calculating how many dependent variables there were at each node.
odd because it just checks that there wasn't the best fit of them.
Well, it looped over every element and then looped over every node and checked where the node was in the particular element that it was looking at.
Okay, so faces and lines and sparsity. And what's the third thing? Or
well,
is
something in the solve's taking a long time.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not the linear solve. And it's not even the assembly.
Oh.
It's something.
What is the solver doing?
Yeah.
Because it's not
is
doing.
Is it dense matrices or?
No, it's sparse.
So it's sparse format.
Yeah, the only thing that's dense is when it tries to calculate the sparsity format. And that's what we're talking about.
So it's not using anything sparse to do that, it's using something dense.
That's
right. So it's an entry for every element of the matrix that it's trying to be sparse for.
Well, the problem is when you're putting your element stiffness matrices together, you don't know how the final sparsity pattern is necessarily going to be like. So what happens at the moment is that in general FEM, seamless will run through and basically pre-calculate what all of that sparsity pattern should be without actually populating with the correct values. So it doesn't do the element integration, but actually works out where all the
values
should be, so you can actually do the row from crest. Yeah, it just does bits of ones and zeros, I think. Where are their bytes?
They're bytes.
They're bytes. Okay, it would be helpful if it was bits, I guess, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but we're still...
And so obviously that is like a double pass. You do one pass and you work out all the sparsity patterns so you can do the row compressed.
Whereas
indices.
Most programs would have a sparse structure that you can add to.
Well, I mean, I think like when you get to the, what happens when you get to the grid based side of things is you construct things node wise rather than element wise anyway, so you try and get around that. So rather than computing element stiffness matrices, you compute all the contributions to all the stiffness matrices associated with a node, or with collocation, obviously, you know, finite differences, finite volumes. You're doing it for a row-wise anyway, so you don't have to go through that pre-pass.
So the same type of algorithm could be done to calculate sparsity and structure elsewhere.
That's right.
But that's one issue we wouldn't have if we were to use a good base. Then...
How does it know that it's sparsity then? Why does it know?
It takes one node and then looks at all the elements around the node and then fills in one line of data.
So each row is associated with one equation, right?
Yeah.
So it builds one equation at a time instead of kind of putting it together from elements.
Okay, and then it still builds one sparse row.
That's right, so it can do the row compressed thing in one go.
Oh, it's a sample. It's got a lot of size.
Yeah.
So there's the grid base one has, you imagine, two hexahedral elements in there.
Yeah.
X1 by X2 by X3. From that figure out, it's sparsity pattern. And then if for some reason there's collapsed nodes or if there's a cellular break, then it gets rid of that connection. And that's how it builds up the sparsity pattern.
But it still does tend, it does build things node-wise rather than element-wise, which is
yeah,
the critical
yeah.
thing. So
okay.
it, I mean,
yeah,
each
yeah.
node is obviously a row, so each
yeah.
row is constructed in one go.
Okay. The sparsity thing, I mean, if it could reallocate or make this add to its sparsity pattern,
that's
then
right.
that would be relevant.
But we've talked about this quite a bit, right? What have you done for the construction, even in the grid side of things? Did you?
What?
We've talked about how you would go about, or have I talked about it with Greg? We've talked with someone between you, me, and Greg at some stage or other, but how you would go about constructing these things, even element-wise, and making sure that you were setting up the sparsity pattern without having to do a pre-compute.
I mean, I'd just write a sparse matrix that you could add to.
Yeah, that would be the most logical. Well, the obvious thing is you have pointers to...
Yeah,
lots of rows basically. Right. Yeah, which can dynamically,
get bigger.
I mean, the advantage to comparing grid mesh to grid-based FEM is what we do actually use for those texture problems. Grid-based FEM, but grid-based FEM is not flexible as lid mesh.
Yeah.
So
again, it's not apples to apples, but it's another step. Yeah.
Your lid mesh example, Carl. Presumably, though, that's kind of written for the specific problem, right? I mean, you wrote an example for heat equation?
Yep, but it uses a library for general problems.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, given that in CM we try to keep things as general as possible, what overhead comes with that? I mean,
LibMesh is trying to be as general as possible.
Yes, but I mean, the question I'm just throwing out there though is in your CM context, you're saying, okay, there's a whole lot of things which you're wanting to do to keep this process of constructing and assembling stiffness matrices and mass matrices general over a whole lot of different problems. Is there any overhead in keeping that side general as opposed to
I think that makes example. The only advantage that LibMesh has is that it could throw some things out and make some decisions at compile time that we can only make at runtime, because you compile your main program against templates, so it has that ability, but I don't even think it's using it to any practical.
Okay.
That's what computed variables would do, but that's, and maybe Sundance, but I don't think that LibMesh is doing that to any practical.
What do you mean by that exactly?
That if you template everything, then there's no code that exists in the library. It's all just, they're just templates for generating code. And then when you write your main program, it goes and generates the code that you need to satisfy the calls that you're going to make, and it doesn't generate the rest of the code.
So there's less code associated with
it? If you write your C++ well, you should end up generating just the code that you need, and no more. And that's the code that you have, and that's it.
And that, it obviously reduces memory, but it also makes things go faster?
Well, yeah, it might not. I mean, if
you reduce memory,
it's reducing the memory, but it's reducing the footprint of your executable. So, I mean, that's
it
helps a little bit.
But
there's no real disadvantage. That's why not?
Yeah.
So there's only a small gain. That's why LibMesh doesn't probably do this. I'm just saying that's the only other advantage.
But it does use a lot of time.
Yeah, I think, but it seems to instantiate most of the things. Not when you compile a main, but it's made it already. So the advantage of using templates in that way is that they're like macros or whatever, that if you want to code to work for complex and scalar, then you write the code once, and it works. It makes, you can generate all your functions to work for scalars or all your functions to work for complex numbers, which is what they do, right? And LibMesh has a complex version. So you don't have to go and write a new function for the complex ones. So that's the way they're using templates to be used. Okay, so A, I think we just document what would need to be done. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at Cal's list of options here, and I don't think we should fix again to solve this problem in the way that it is.
What do you mean by this? Fix up a packet and contemporary code?
We're
to CM?
Presumably.
Fix up CM, basically?
Yeah. Fix this problem in CM that it works. Okay, which is fix the faces and lines somehow, fix the sparsity, and try and figure out what the solver is doing.
Yeah.
Isn't the real kind of treasure in CM at the moment is at least you kind of think, oh, well, the answers are probably relatively reliable, so rather than fiddle with them and have to debug CM a second time, keep CM frozen and rewrite from scratch so that you keep CM as at least, if not the performance standard, at least it's the
quality standard. I'm not sure of that, but that's totally. But at this point, we're having a speed standard competition because that is required before we are allowed to consider changing to using LibMesh. And I'm not very keen on writing something from scratch. I don't
think that we should be changing CM because it's slower. I think that's just it.
Yeah, that I agree. But if Chris wants to, or someone wants to take up that, I think CM should be better and can do much better than they're welcome. And if that's, he wants to up the benchmark a little bit.
I don't think we're really using this test as a means of saying, yes, LibMesh is a success or no, it's not. it's more of a curiosity in terms of my perspective.
I would, but we aren't allowed to consider it unless it's not orders of magnitude slower than CN, which is what, which is the thing. We should try monodomain. I don't know how much work is this going to be. So it's what you were discussing.
But it's work.
What about your code?
Can we just not worry about doing the same problem and just benchmark something that has the same sort of order of numbers
that was
of degrees of freedom?
We just do a simple cell model that's as basic as possible, and it won't be solving the same problem, but it'll give us the...
I agree.
Okay.
That's what I
think. So okay, sure.
Yeah, because it's just kind
of...
I mean,
Q with a similar number of degrees of freedom and...
Yeah.
But why not just do a heat equation? Why do you need a reaction?
We need to modify the cell model in some way to make it solve a heat equation, and it's not. We don't know how easy it is to modify that, but it seems like we're going to get good enough results. We're going to get some indication by merely just running this simple cell model.
I asked you this once a long time ago. Can I run a parabolic heat equation? He said no.
Okay.
But you can create a user cell model that basically gave a right-hand side.
Or you use a cubic and just raise the threshold to plus 1 million or whatever.
But you're still doing the amount of work, so you might as well just do a cubic. I mean, even if the way you do it the way I suggest, you can still use a cubic.
Yeah.
It's more how much work and how efficient it is.
But what you don't want to do is have to include solving that sort of thing into your
No, I don't think we're going to have it at this point.
Okay. You just want to...
But we have to shortly, because that's what we want to do.
But if we can see that doing grid-based film, the same size problem, but just happening, just allowing for a reaction to occur, and it's 5 times faster than a lip mass, that's something.
Yeah.
What you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to do the 1,000 by 1,000 problem, for example.
Sure.
Possibly, at least close to that.
Yeah, I hope. We're running much bigger than that.
Okay. Is that reasonable?
Oh, I think so.
Do you want to try that count?
I think it's going to be more convincing if we... there are going to be people who are not convinced by that.
What we've done.
And if we use both...
It probably will be faster than what we've done, because it takes advantage of structureness.
Okay. We'll see.
But if you just do a grid fin, though, you're not... there's no kind of intrinsic reliance on structure there, is there?
Yeah, there is.
In setup, but not in the...
Well, if you look at the simple, it loops over all nodes, and then, and then it says NK minus 3, or minus 1 to 1, and J minus 1 to 1, so it knows that there's that 27 point something.
Although you could branch that out and test that.
It's a structure with exceptions for collapses and things like that.
You could test this to a certain extent by doing that, say, for example, in a single element with a grid in it and an array of, 3x3x3 elements with grids in them.
I don't think that's necessary. I think if we do one cube, then we'll see where we're at with that.
Sure.
I mean, it's going to be very hard to compare this litmus to another non-C++ package, unless we had another full finite package of the Fortran 90. If we did, we'd probably be considered using it. That's what Chris is trying to do.
Okay.
Really been paying attention because we're trying to catch up.
No.
Is there anything from that you'd like to put in these minutes?
No.
But really, I mean, for B, there's nothing that needs to be modified, right? It's simply a matter of putting, I mean, if you want to, with the reaction term, putting the right parameters in to make it behave so that it doesn't slow the solution down in any way.
Well, I mean, I think Carl is originally thinking of creating a parabolic problem in the monomer code. But if we just say, let's just do a monomer problem with a simple reaction. Because it's going to, or at least going to be able to test the time of the assembly. that's not going to be any different for Fairbox.
I mean, to me, all I think is that so long as you don't have the reaction term increasing the magnitude of the right-hand side and therefore maybe making the solver do more work.
Sure.
I mean, that's the only really critical thing. I mean, okay, so you're looping over all grid points and doing one step simple order. I mean, that's not, relatively speaking, that's not going to do too much with it.
So how do you keep it to one step simple order?
Well, it will do one step. You've got no control over those in CS anyway.
Okay.
So long as you choose simple order. And if you have your threshold much higher than you think your scalar variables are going to get, then you're not going to get a reaction component coming into the right-hand side.
Threshold. Okay, this is in the cubic model.
Yeah, so
okay.
That's right.
Well, we could.
And that way your magnitude in the right-hand side is not going to be changing.
Well, we should definitely keep track of it. We're using the same solvers for both. We should keep track of the number of iterations for each solve. Since we are doing some of the problem. I mean, the matrices would be effectively the same, but the amount of work required to get the solution could be different because of the block and monitoring.
But only marginally through looping over the all the grid points and doing a single Euler step. I mean, that would be any difference. That should be minor.
Okay. I mean, to my mind, even what we've done adds some compelling argument to adopting a new framework. And the, you know, how long did it take to do your 1,000 by 1,000 before?
3 minutes or something.
So this was LibMesh?
Yeah.
I think actually LibMesh allows you to define a structured problem in the way it does that. I mean, you don't read in a mesh. I think you actually specify.
You generate.
Yeah. So you generate in the code. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's still stored in the same way as a Red.
I would guess so. It may not even store all the elements, may generate them when it requires them from some generated thing, but it wouldn't be cheating when it goes to then solve on the structure.
Yeah.
Because of the amount of memory it uses.
Feels like it's generating.
I think so. It was 6 minutes or 3 minutes from parallel.
Okay. Well, that looks positive to me.
What would be interesting is to see the amount of memory used by CM when you're doing grid-based film.
Yeah, I didn't put the memory in there for the prediction fusion because there was obviously the 2 gigabytes to set up these faster structures, but then it did actually drop down a lot.
But isn't some of your IP parafiles really liberal? Do you see that as being allocated memory, or do you only see actually watts?
You would see it as virtual memory.
Well, although no, I don't. That's not quite true. I mean, if you're hitting every page, so if your IP para is padding every number you really want by 50 other numbers, mm-hmm. then you're going to hit every page, right? That forces that whole page to load, and so you're really going to load all the memory. Okay. So I think if you don't use a whole page, yeah. then it's free. So you might actually get a better performance out of making it a bit bigger. No, no, I think that works, because no matter how you can do it, you're going to... Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that doesn't work. But, but yeah, so... If you're at your finest granularity wasting space, then there's no way of avoiding that.
So are you saying that in order for these tests to be, to make sure that these tests are also as good as they can be, that the parameters file should be basically tightened down as much as possible?
I think that's...
But why?
Sure.
But it's to some degree fair, and to some degree it shows the problem of what the system that we already have. But yeah, I think... It goes both ways.
No, I was just thinking because, like, you know, for any of the grid pen problems, you can tighten it down pretty nicely. So. Yeah.
What do you mean by tighten it down pretty nicely?
Well, I mean, make sure that your global stiffness matrix only has exactly the number of elements that you know it's going to have.
There is a lot of virtual memory sitting around. If you
look in the subroutine that allocates memory based on IPPARA. There's lots that's allocated that's not used, but it goes to what Shane was saying. Chances are these pages never access, so they never really.
The mesh seems to allocate a bit more memory than it used, but as you've probably got bigger and bigger, the extra memory didn't get bigger. So there was about 100 meg or something that seemed to allocate a lot use.
Anything happened with the SIR grant or not?
The SIR grant, we got a date of the 30th of June or whatever. But Dale last week said, oh no, it's not the 30th of June, it's the 30th of July. You had your dates wrong. But that was the dates they gave us.
It's such a shame for these people that June and July both start with the same few letters, right?
So we were wrong, it was always 30th of July. We've scheduled a meeting when all the people involved are back from holiday, which gives you a clue as to why it's not the 30th of June, maybe. But anyway.
How do they expect us? I mean, they were going to claim they were going to help us redo our code and all this.
But that's a kind of a different thing. Like, they just import some guy from America. We've had them before. Some guy from America turns up and does what we tell him. That's the problem, is that we have to know what they tell him to do. And we have to have a defined sort of thing. Like, we can say, you know, go to work on this, and they'll go and figure out how to speed it up a bit.
Oh, right.
You know, or something like that. But we really need a problem that's running that we can set them at, or something like that. The other way that they send people out is they'll run training courses for us. Like, we had the SGI people came out and gave us he came for a whole week, and he wanted to set up all these courses and stuff and teach us stuff, but we weren't so enraptured by wasting a whole week doing that. So basically we went through his course notes and picked out bits that we wanted to ask him questions about, which was it was reasonably useful, although I think the guy might have been frustrated that he'd been here a whole week, when by the time the second day was up, we had nothing else to ask him. So it's like he twiddled his thumbs. So that's how these things have gone before. I think if we had a package that was running and we said, engineer this to make it go faster, then we really have a defined problem that could probably get their teeth into fully. You know, I think that's more likely. And it's the same with BlueGene. They always say, oh, we'll help it to run on BlueGene. What they really want is something that runs, they can try and engineer it and make it go fast. But we've never had anything like, you know, like it, that you start, you dump them what we have had before, and then you're, what do we do with it? They can't tweak it. There have been lots of problems with the HPC. You know, you just do all the upgrades, basically failing. So you've downgraded everything. So everything you tried to do on Sunday kind of went wrong, and load level is upgraded now, reports lots of errors, although it seems to still run.
Yeah, I discovered that Sunday.
Well, you were probably the one that told.
Yes. Yeah. It's time to submit jobs right after the upgrade.
Yeah, but and so there's lots of crap. So he had to downgrade UPFS back to what it was, or at least the newer version of the old revision or something. Because he could crash it by typing LS. Mm-hmm. Bring everything down. I guess I'm going to find out as well. It's a bit of a disaster, really. IBM has to look pretty silly on that regard, but I guess they do that feature on the support list too high.
That's what I say, what do they do?
They talk about us at conferences.
Yeah.
For example, groups converting to BlueGene.
Yeah. Yep. I left libmesh and visualization on there because I still need to do something, but I don't know what exactly I'm going to do. I keep changing my mind about the best approach for trying to do something. Would it be useful just to write a EX node exporter? Or am I old?
Oh, to be honest, useful. You know it could be done.
Mm.
So
guess there probably is a first stage of if you were to do something, but it's worth probably not even doing it now.
Yeah, probably not.
Somebody must have a piece of pro code sitting around which will just take a list of points and locations and generate an EX thingies from them. So
I have that strong say. But you build a class into LibMesh that exports, and that will make one.
It's one like B, if you know what that one.
We're focused on LibMesh, and I was sort of very happy with picking one package to sort of prove that the package could be useful to us. And I think we've got to that point now, and LibMesh may be the best package out there, but before going and purchasing all, is it worth checking out the other options?
Yeah, so the other options we had on the table were Lightspeed or whatever, Sundance, and something else, right?
Yeah, pretty premium as well, have you seen?
What was the new one?
That's called Green Puma. Travis is sort of about negative vibes about that one.
Not from me, obviously.
It was a failed project at the time. Kind of left the lab and people in general. Same thing with C++ and people.
I think so, I'm not sure. The thing FreeSpooma has is actually a B symbol. And the thing that we're dealing with likely is that it has a test sort of a lot of comprehensive.
Wait, no example.
I couldn't find out if this is how you get started.
The test suite though comes French. With the software?
Yeah.
Lightbe is French.
It's French. Oh. Should be a support French for here in New Zealand. Rainbow Warrior.
It was written in a paper that we're good friends with them now.
Oh.
Who wrote that?
it was. We're now good friends and recovered from
what
the angst. And recovered from the angst of good friends. I think since we.
Gave the prisoners back to them to the
I think it's apparently we're good buddies again.
I thought it was Swiss, but there were three institutes involved.
Yeah. But are they academic institutes? Or have they got a bottomless pit of cash to support this for the next 15 to 20 years?
I don't know. It's called LifeBee because they're still life problems. So they're doing blood flow problems and people using it for extra fusion systems.
Versus LibMesh, which is two of your guys from Texas. Well, they were at UT Austin. There's three of them. One guy's in Germany. Two of them in the US, they're from UT Austin.
They're focused on fluid flows, I'm quite surprised that they actually wrote a thin package just on fluid.
And they want an adaptive mesh refinement. I think that's why they went to thin. Because it's not easy to do adaptive mesh refinement for finite difference.
Finite volume?
Or finite volume, yeah.
Okay.
And they're doing shockwave things and stuff.
But I think the big thing to that one is adaptive mesh features already built in. Like the... it's hard to know if you can't expect any project to be built to be going on for 15 years. And I think you need a good licensing arrangement with it. Which, what's like the...
I think it's LTPL,
so both of them. LibMesh and LifeHere and LTPL, so essentially we can do what we want to do as long as we get back. As long as it's easy to work with. As long as you're a strong C++ programmer, I would assume that both of you probably are easy to work with.
And have we eliminated our BIM that was at GPL? That's our own
I'm not that excited about doing that. All the arguments that I've presented to the Institute and all sorts of other people have been predicated on using an open source license that allows us to build closed source products and maintain proprietary technology as we choose. I'm throwing that argument away if I adopt something.
Or GPU.
And
the GPU.
Yeah. LGPU. Yeah, I haven't touched it though. I mean, I got it to compile the example. So
Mark, what do you think?
I don't want to spend another. I don't want to spend three more months on this. So I mean, you know, I don't want to spend more than a week looking at any of these individuals, I guess.
Yep.
Because that means that I look at three things, I've got 3 weeks. Is that reasonable?
Yep.
But the use of any package hopefully is not so essential to what you're doing that you couldn't substitute for something else with a little bit of effort, is that?
Yeah, but I think if we build an infrastructure around supporting all the examples, you know, I think the thing to do once we do this is try and expand the breadth of what, well, we have two objectives. One is to try and solve the whole heart and actually do, you know, by domain on the whole heart or something like that. So we go that way, and then there's a kind of a breadth. Can I take this package and do how much of the range of problems we already have that people actually solve? And, you know, I mean, part of this is that we've learned that we don't act, you know, no one, I don't know if anyone earnestly does these equations, you know, so it's like, if we're not solving it anyway, I'm not going to worry about it too much. But if it's something that people want to do, then we should be trying to see if we can do it with that package and then present an example that does.
Just probably what you're saying about heat equation though, I mean, if for example we wanted to take somebody else's existing heart mesh, like the ones that are widely used, then we wouldn't be going down the grid FEM route, we would just be popping straight into standard FEM. So maybe the standard CMS FEM,
yeah. But it wouldn't be able to do it for the reasons we just looked, right?
In its current flavor, obviously, yeah.
Did Greg use standard CMFEM?
No, he used the grid, but he basically just had 8 grid points per element, so it was effectively.
But he must have used. I mean, they must have calculated the faces and lines.
Those were all hexahedral elements.
I don't see that.
You can't stop it calculating faces and lines.
Yeah, he would have, because he, when he first read it with them, struck all those things.
Yeah, the original. Yeah, okay, so he must have done all that.
I think, after giving a cursory glance at the others, just to see their advantages and disadvantages, we could maybe start thinking of how we could actually build something on top of the mesh, incorporating all the other features of CM, kind of an outline. And I think also putting something together and sending it to the developers to see if they have any.
Yeah, which is what I've advocated over and over again.
Yeah. They might say, no, you can't really do anything big with this code.
Well, they might have been big too,
yeah. I mean, they might be very excited.
Yeah. Do you want to try and write something for the Libmesh to pick up? Or do you want to write something that we're going to bring back to this meeting? And
do they have a list of publications?
They're trying to put one together. Wasn't that what that list was about? The guy was trying to get it.
They've got some conference presentations and abstracts.
Oh, even a search of scholar.google just for Libmesh and that's throw up something, yeah. Right? Yeah. Is that does text searches?
That would be nice. Yeah. I'm keen to write something at some stage. We'll sort of, we need to work out what we've got time, what things we've got.
Yeah. Although, I mean, it doesn't matter. You don't have to ask everything all in one go. In fact, it's better.
Yes, because
sometimes not. Yeah. And I mean, I can quickly, I'd ask something about cubic and meat elements. I mean, this, or what they thought about it, or what they thought about trying to do embedded meshes, or something about what they thought about trying to do mechanics.
Yeah.
What do they think? You know, this is a C of D package. Have they thought about how we would incorporate, or what do they think about us trying to do linear, but non-linear mechanics or whatever?
There is someone who's doing reaction diffusion. Hopefully, if you read the threads, someone is doing reaction diffusion.
Yeah, but it's kind of a thing to do mechanics.
I can't see what
would fundamentally be in the way. Yeah, but I mean, that's the sort of, you know, I'm just thinking of first questions to start a dialogue would be, and those are the three things.
Because what you'd like is a relationship, wouldn't you? That
that
seems beneficial for them and for us.
Yeah.
Presumably they would jump together.
Yeah. Other things that we probably want to sort of check up, setting up to general fields for anything, but what mainly came to mind was the fiber angles turning into massive chunk of equipment. I don't know if that's something we need to have to think about, which is probably documentation and setting up.
Yeah, but it's things that you can just ask in the, then they just say yes, no, and look at this. I think, you know.
So it's just a,
be a lot of the effort to go into creating a simple inputting to the code. That's the way to do it. That's pretty simple. I mean, put on top of it.
As opposed to just using, right, getting people to write main programs.
Yeah, you need the ability to describe higher frequency variations in some of these properties.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's probably much finer resolution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Generally, you could have a hierarchy of this.
That would certainly be one way to do it. But, yeah, how to do that without sort of creating overhead or storing these things.
This is something which I think would be quite interesting to get someone like, this is guy coming from IBM. Peter's student.
Your student?
Jagar.
Your student?
Well, that's right. Because he's sort of done a lot about data mining and storage and ways of describing things. So.
I think, I've already been able to read in half of the cylinder. I still haven't even run a problem because I haven't had time. We can easily generate a feature mesh. Easy generate most of the hard minus the bottom.
I've got a Griffin hard mesh which works.
Yeah. So you could do all this stuff, you could
at least do a heat equation on those grids.
multiply. I mean, if you need to simulate a bi-domain equation, you just do two heat equations and solve it at the same time. Right?
But you want to have types of fiber orientation. There's a little bit of math sync from the fiber and you just
Oh, I see.
It's just math.
The main thing I think you have to do is write a different assembly routine. That's other examples of just different assembly routines.
The same setups, the have multiple systems and the same problem. Just in terms of the details of really like connections between systems, is that the way we want to take
Okay, in terms of these other packages, I guess we're working on our same test problem, really. Is that what we want to do? To look at these? I mean, and as you do that, obviously you make up your own assessment about the usability and so on and all sorts of other things.
Yeah, that's probably the other thing. I'm not sure if a week will be long enough to get the test problem going.
Okay.
Let's just see how hard it is to get a test problem going.
Yeah.
Too hard then.
Not to
just take a look at the code and see if it's
really nice. Okay, because, I'd like to not trade this out.
Have you done Sundance before?
I compiled it.
That's the
Lyric.
It would have to be with a name like that. I mean, that's the Aztec Sundance.
I think it's those guys.
That's the DOE sort of thing.
Yeah, it's the other one.
What do they call the big number? Isn't it Lyric Little? Well, there's a whole consortium.
It's not
Lyric
Little.
It's
not Sandia. It's Sandia.
Sandia.
The Southwest Indian sort of main group.
it's a very much a C++ templated thing. I compiled the examples and I've done anything else.
Is that LGPL?
I can't remember the last
thing. I think so.
In your list.
Interesting is writing emails to these different people asking questions and see, how forthcoming they are in support.
I thought that was crucial before we finally adopted one. Can we just talk a little bit? You'll notice that under resourcing I put physion.org.nz because I've been told that the CMIS.org person to replace Kerry isn't a CMIS.org person anyway, they're a physio person and it made it sound like they wouldn't be very interested in CMIS.org for some reason. That was annoying to me. This was just Paul talking about it.
So Kerry's replacement's not actually replacing Kerry?
Well, Kerry's replacement got canned for a week or so.
Okay.
It got replaced with a Peter Villiger replacement. And then some of us said, what the hell's going on? Only because Maria talked to me. Last week, before Paul went, we had three replacements, a Peter Villiger replacement, a Kerry replacement, and a Dong replacement, who's the other guy programming Salamel stuff, because he finished his contract and left. So then they went from zero job, well, one job to three jobs. And then the physion.org replacement. I mean, supposedly they're being hired to develop the infrastructure for the CellML database and all that sort of stuff. In my mind, CMIS is kind of part of all that. But depends whether you have that view or not.
Sounds like whatever the person is comes, they're not going to have a clear job description, right?
No, there are three now unclear job descriptions. Well, no, they're written down.
I know, but I mean, it seems to me prior to hiring something, there was already a lot of pulling and toing and froing about what sort of role they're going to have. Which you look concerned about the fact that they're going to get pulled by three different strings.
Some people prefer to have a job description for people.
sure, but if you actually want the person to be productive, then presumably if you're in a position
where you're being recorded.
Anyway.
But I did get the solicitation from Peter that I wanted by writing. Unfortunately, I haven't heard from Peter, so he did reply. pretty quickly. So.
Oh, do we stop recording now?
Yeah, okay, we shouldn't talk about a job on online.
Was there anything else you want to talk about online?